believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome to the show, everyone. It is Wednesday, May 27th, 2009. I appreciate you tuning in on this fine morning. You know, there's four universal firearm safety rules, and they've had a slight modification over the years to allow for a couple of things. And we're going to talk about those and what happens when you negate those rules. Okay, rule one originally was all guns are always loaded. That's been changed to treat all guns as if they're loaded. Because if all guns are always loaded, you cannot dry practice with them. There's just it completely negates you being able to do certain things with them. However, if you treat them as if they are loaded, you can then open up for actually doing some dry practice and things such as that. Rule two, don't cover anything with a muzzle you're not willing to destroy. That is just the way it needs to be. That means don't point the gun, the muzzle, at anything you're not willing to destroy. So if you're going to do dry practice, and let's say you've got a solid core door between your house and your garage, and you're going to put up a target, are you willing to destroy that door if something goes wrong? Well, sure, it's an inanimate object. I've cleared on the backside. There's no one out there. You know, maybe there's a big shelf with some other stuff or something. It's pretty safe. It's a solid door. So I'm pretty secure with that. Rule number three. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to shoot. That was the original one. It's been modified only slightly because of the sights thing. It is now keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. Reason being is you're not always going to be able to use your sights, especially in a defensive situation. In a defensive situation, you might have somebody attacking you. They might be on top of you. So the gun's just going to come up, clear the holster. You're going to drop your elbow, rotate the muzzle down. It'll be right next to your rib cage, canted out a bit, and you're going to shoot. Are you on your sights? No. Are you indexing and literally within a few inches or a couple of feet of the bad guy who's attacking you? Yes. So rule three, keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. And in fact, keep it outside of the trigger guard. Rule four, be aware of your target and what's in line with your target. Okay, it's not just be aware of your target and what's downrange of your target. What's in line with your target? Because it's not just your target and what's downrange, because there's some amount of distance between your muzzle and your target. And let's say that distance is, I don't know, like 18, 19, 20 feet, just for argument's sake. And in that distance, somebody might run right through your firing line. They might be running perpendicular to you, right across that bullet path. So be aware of your target, both in the foreground between the muzzle and your target and the background. If your rounds are to over-penetrate or if you're to miss, what or whom are they likely to impact when they go screaming downrange, guys? It goes without saying, you cannot change the trajectory of a round. You certainly cannot get it back. You are criminally and civilly liable for every round you ever fire. That includes at shooting ranges. Now, generally at organized shooting ranges, they remove that liability with the structure, with the design of the range. Just remember, that's it. All right? So now that we've discussed these four safety rules, when we come back from the break, I have a story to read from you out of the Arizona Daily Star. This is Bill Carnes with 2A Radio. Stay tuned through the break.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
So here's a story about guns and Darwinism, okay? This comes out of the Arizona Daily Star. A week ago Sunday, we're talking about 10 days ago now, while explaining gun safety, Samuel Bentley Jr. was in an apartment teaching gun safety to two other people when he said guns should be kept unloaded because people could point them at their heads. He then demonstrated that with his own 9mm Ruger semi-automatic, which he believed to be unloaded, held it to his head, pressed the trigger. Well, there was a round in the chamber, and bang. Bentley was flown to the hospital, where he was pronounced dead. An investigation is ongoing, but police do not believe drugs or alcohol were involved. No, stupidity was involved. Absolute, sheer, 100% moronic stupidity. Now, I have no idea who Samuel Bentley Jr. used to be, but I do know that evidently this person had no business whatsoever teaching anybody anything at all about gun safety. People could point the guns to their head. Let me see. Rule one, treat all guns as if they're loaded. Okay, so if rule one was evidently violated because he put the gun to his head and pressed the trigger. So that's a violation of rule one. Rule two, don't cover anything with the muzzle you're not willing to destroy. Okay, so he put the gun to his head, and so the muzzle was covering his head, something he probably was not really willing to destroy. So a violation of rule two. Rule three, keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. So rule three, was he ready to shoot? Well, he was ready to press the trigger. I guess I'm not so he intended to do that, so he didn't really violate rule three. Be aware of your target and what's in line with your target. Well, he's aware of his target, what was in line with it. So I guess he was really only in violation of half of the rules, rule one and rule two, because he was not treating the gun as if it were loaded. And he did cover something, his head, he most likely was not willing to destroy while getting into this safety class of sorts. So I mean, you got to realize every single time someone gets shot or shoots themselves, there's a violation within the four safety rules. At least one, if not many. Generally speaking, the most common one is rule three. Keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot. In order for somebody to get injured or die, rule three pretty much has to be violated, unless you're just so intent on actually demonstrating by pressing the trigger and you haven't cleared the gun properly. Now, that's a technique issue. And most commonly, the people that do this sort of thing that you read about are police and occasionally military, where you know there's an injury inside the squad room or at home or something with the gun. And oftentimes with things like people that don't understand how certain guns operate, like the Glock semi-automatic pistol, in order to disassemble the Glock, take the slide off of the frame, you have to clear the gun out and depress the trigger. Press the trigger, right? Then you pull the slide back maybe a half inch or so, pull down a couple of release tabs, and then push the slide forward. It comes off of the slide. But you have to press the trigger. In order to do this safely, you have to make sure that there's nothing in the chamber. If this guy, Samuel Bentley Jr., had checked to see if there's anything in the chamber, I'm certain he wouldn't have demonstrated something so stupid. Now, I've owned guns for a long time. Long time. And I can honestly say, I have never taken a gun in any capacity and put it to my head and press the trigger. That is not the purpose of my guns. And I don't treat them with anything other than the respect for what purpose I have them to serve. And to take one and put it against my head and press the trigger is not the purpose of any of the guns that I own. Therefore, it'll never happen. It never has. I own a little small two-seat hybrid car. Now, don't go thinking I'm some tree hugger. It's a highly efficient Honda Insight because I drive a lot. Matter of fact, I'll be on a road trip late this week over the weekend in this car. Probably put, I don't know, 1,400 miles on it over the weekend. I also own the worst mile per gallon getting SUV on the market. I own a Dodge Durango, which has a 360 cubic inch motor, 5.9, bigger than what you'll find in a Suburban or an Escalade, something like that. And it gets horrible gas mileage, just not good gas mileage at all. So I kind of have a yin and yang balance with my vehicles here. Anyhow, the point being is I don't take my little Honda Insight off-road. I don't take it up gravel roads and dirt roads and four-wheeling trails. It's not designed for that, so I don't do it. I also wouldn't take my Durango and try to win some sort of mileage contest that it's not for that. Unless you purchase a gun specifically for the purpose of putting it to your head and pressing the trigger, I advise never doing that. I would like to use the term common sense, but it seems as though common sense has left the common man and is now uncommon sense. You just don't do that. Or you may just blow your own brains all over the wall next to you. Case in point, Samuel Bentley Jr. With that being said, don't be stupid. And don't think that for some reason or another that you're better than the rules. Who originally created these rules? Does anybody out there know who originally created these four safety rules? I do. So this is a little trivia question from me to you. If you know, call me, 800-313-9443. Call the call-in number. Let me know who created these four safety rules. And then we're going to talk a little bit about that individual's safety conduct after those rules were implemented. So if you have any idea who this may be, call me, 800-313-9443. Let's turn this into a bit of a discussion. This is a little too important just to make a small segment and let it go away. Now, how do you know if there is a round in the chamber of a semi-automatic pistol? Well, you do what's referred to as a chamber check. Some people from the old school days may have referred to it as a press check. What you would do is grab a hold of the slide. Generally, the best place to do this is on the cocking serrations, which are behind the ejection port, you know, over the rear sight. You can see the grooves. Grab a hold of that with your support hand. Pull it back about a half an inch and look into the chamber. If you see brass, your chamber is loaded. If you don't see brass, your chamber is empty. That's how you would check to make sure if there's a round in the chamber. Now, if you're unloading the gun to make sure the gun is empty, you want to make sure that the magazine is out of the gun and check the chamber to see if there's a round in there. If there is, eject it. Get that thing out of there. Once you've done that, double check. Ensure there's nothing in the magazine well. Ensure there's nothing in the chamber or vice versa. Doesn't really matter. You're rechecking the gun. Check the chamber. Check to make sure there's nothing in the magazine well, and now you would be certain that your gun is unloaded. Now, if there's bump in the night, you would do the same thing. You would check the chamber and check the magazine to make sure that the gun were loaded before you go searching through your house. And some rules and principles about searching through your house we'll hit on another show. We'll hit on one of the shows we put together for training. But you would make sure, like, say you're a cop and you're starting off for the day. Maybe you get a hot call, right? You do a chamber check, magazine check, ensure that the gun is loaded and ready to go. There's one in the chamber, the magazine is loaded. All but maybe a round or two in it because of keeping the spring in good shape. But you don't want to have a 15-round magazine and three rounds in it going into a hot call, or if you hear bump in the night and there's a burglar or a home invader in your house. That's not good. But to make sure that the gun is empty, there's no magazine in the gun. You check the chamber to make sure there's no round in the chamber. If there is, get it out of there. And then double check again, regardless of what you found. If you found no magazine in the chamber, no magazine in the gun, no round in the chamber, check it again just to ensure. All right? And if you're going to do anything sort of practicing or dry practice, as we said on the show before, you get all the ammo out of there. All the ammo gone. All right. I'm looking on my caller page. Nobody's called to tell me who did the four safety rule, so I'm just going to tell you. Guy by the name of Jeff Cooper, Colonel Jeff Cooper, the guy that founded the American Pistol Institute, which then turned into Gunsight Academy, Jeff Cooper. Now, Jeff Cooper had no less than about seven negligent discharges. We don't call them accidental, because when someone has a discharge, like this Samuel Benally Jr., that was not accidental. That was negligence. So a negligent discharge. Jeff Cooper had no less than seven of these negligent discharges after he created the four safety rules, because he would not necessarily do them all in order or try to go by memory or assumption, and bang, around would go off. One of the most famous ones was when he handed a rifle to somebody at the SHOT Show several years ago. It was when he was introducing the Steyr Scout rifle that he had a big hand in creating and designing. And someone blasted a .308 caliber round right through the ceiling of the Las Vegas Convention Center, because they didn't check either. So combination of errors with the two. How a live round got into the chamber remains unknown at this point. But, you know, certainly helpfully responsible for that one. Okay. When we come back from the break, we're going to carry on with just a little bit when it comes to safety. Before we get into today's riot, and I'm sure if any of you spend any time at all watching the news, this riot began some 24 hours ago. This is Bill Carnes with 2A Radio. We'll be back after the break.
Responsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
Well, I've got a little good news out of Alaska. In the Kenai Peninsula of Alaska, if you look at Alaska, the Kenai Peninsula, you look at Anchorage, which is in the southern part of the state, kind of central, tiny bit west. Just below that is the Kenai Peninsula. You've got the Cook Inlet, and then south of that is the Kenai Peninsula. The Kenai River goes into the mainland. Actually, I'm sorry, it flows into the sea. Today, on the Kenai Peninsula, is Open Carry Day. This event is being sponsored by the Second Amendment Task Force of the Kenai Peninsula. One of the organizers is a guy named Scott Harmon of Nikiski, Alaska. He explained that too often weapons are portrayed in a negative light through the media. He said today's event is to help show the positive aspects of guns. He says the event would start the parking lot of the will start in the parking lot of the Borough Hall in Soldotna at 2:30 this afternoon, Alaska time, if you happen to be up there. He said those involved with the event would frequent several establishments as they carry their weapons. Now, I have been up in these exact areas. I've been to the Kenai Peninsula. I spent 3 weeks up there. I stayed in Nikiski. I did, you know, went to the big shopping centers in the town of Soldotna. Flew in and out of Kenai. So I know this area. I know it, you know, relatively familiar from having been there for 3 weeks. And I carried a 10-millimeter Glock Model 20 for the 3 weeks that I was up there. And I carried it open all the time. And I was kind of surprised that more people didn't carry guns. I went in there while I was there for 3 weeks. I needed to get a haircut. And the lady who was doing my hair said, you know, you're the first person who's ever sat down in my chair wearing a gun. Well, so I had to ask, how long have you been cutting hair? 7 years. Really, in 7 years you've never had anybody come in here packing before? Well, not that I saw, not open, because Alaska happens to be an open carry state. They're also rather unique in this decision. If you can legally open carry, they don't mind if you put on a jacket and concealed carry. You don't need any extra special permission for that. You can get a concealed weapons permit if you like, but usually the reason for that would just be an additional piece of ID if somebody wants more than one. Say your library card you forgot, so they want to see both the driver's license and another piece of ID. Who knows? Oh, and the other thing is, if other states offer reciprocity for concealed carry of Alaska residents, and they come down to the lower 48. Let's say, for instance, and I don't know if this is true or not, but let's say Idaho and Utah happen to offer reciprocity with Alaska CCW holders. If someone's going, traveling between Boise and Salt Lake City, and they live in Alaska and they want to carry concealed, if they have the concealed carry ID on them, then they can do that. If they don't, then they can't. So, anyhow, it's Open Carry Day in the Kenai Peninsula of Alaska. Beautiful, beautiful place. The Kenai River goes up there. Kenai River, just for those of you who would otherwise like to go to Alaska to go salmon fishing, the Kenai River is some of the finest salmon fishing in all of the world. I was there for 3 weeks. I spent 3 weeks in the Kenai Peninsula. 7 days I spent on the Kenai River fishing. 7 days I spent teaching people shooting, you know, guns, handgun, shotgun, rifle. And 7 other days I spent generally just kind of cruising around and relaxing. Now, that was all mixed up. It wasn't, okay, this 7 days. All within the 21 days, it was spread. All of these, like, I might teach for a couple of days, go fishing for a day, and, you know, maybe go to Homer, Alaska for a day or something like that. So that was kind of the way that it went. Beautiful area up there. And for these folks to be carrying guns, it's not just two-legged creatures. It's also four. You could easily get attacked by some of these animals up there. Moose, if you've ever seen a moose, they're huge. And I mean their backs are oftentimes 5, 6, 7 feet high. I mean, they're thin because they can get through the trees up there. The trees are not these huge, you know, like what you might think you'd see in the redwood forest. They're very small, thin trees, like an aspen sort of a thing. And they're all over the place. And it's very, very, it's a thicket of these thin trees. But these big moose, they're long and thin, but very tall. And if they have youngins, let me tell you, they're really protective and aggressive. So most Alaskans will just plain steer clear. But if they're not paying attention and a moose starts to attack them, it'd be nice to have a gun. A guy that I know that actually lives here in Pahrump, Nevada, he was originally from Las Vegas, spent 20 years, I think it was 22 years, on the police department up in Anchorage, Alaska, was actually attacked by a moose. And he had a 9mm Smith & Wesson was his issue gun. And he actually emptied that magazine into this moose that was trying to kill him. And finally, 15 rounds of 9mm stopped this moose. It was an interesting story to hear from this fellow. So, anyhow, it's Open Carry Day up in the Kenai Peninsula of Alaska. If you happen to be up there, great. If you can get there by 2:30 p.m., and that's right now, it's a couple hours before the West Coast time. On the West Coast, it's 7:30 in Alaska. Right now, it's 5:30. So if you can get to the Kenai Peninsula, then head on up there and enjoy. It's not just a hop, skip, and a jump. It's over a pretty big landmass and some puddles. But congratulations to the Second Amendment Task Force of the Kenai Peninsula on putting this together. All right, the riot of the day coming up after the break. This is Bill Carnes on 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Radio with Bill Carnes,
1-800-313-9443.
Remember back to your days on the schoolyard. Do you remember somebody who just kept pushing you? Just kept pushing you and pushing you and pushing you? Little bits here, little bits there. Not any one thing that would make you jump and pound the living hell out of them. Just somebody who just, the little things, and finally you just lost it. And you just pounced on this punk dude and beat the crap out of him because they'd been asking for it and asking for it and asking for it. And finally you just, you know, I can't take it anymore. They deserve it. Well, I got to tell you, that's the way I'm looking at this whole thing with the way that Obama runs his office. He comes in, first thing he does is he says, okay, you know what, let's get the Federal Reserve, which has nothing to do with the federal government, it just sounds nice. Let's get the Federal Reserve to print up a couple $1 trillion, and let's just dump it into the economy. And the way we're going to do it is, we're going to basically give it to the banking industry, we're going to give it to the automotive industry, we give it to the industries that really help control what happens in this country. We're going to buy pieces of it. And what's that called? It's called socialism. Now, a lot of the media has gone out and said, all right, well, what this is since the government put money in there, that makes the American taxpayers part owners in the banking system and part owners in General Motors, part owners in Chrysler, right? That is not it at all. We could be part owners in anything. I could be part owner in Microsoft. That doesn't mean that my $100 in shares at Microsoft gets me a damn bit of word of say at the board of directors meeting. I can't override Bill Gates or the president of the company. It's the same thing here now. So what is it? It's now the government has ownership interest within private industry. That is called socialism. We now live in a socialist country, whether you want to admit it or not. The government in a socialist industry, a socialist environment, doesn't own everything. They just own a certain portion of a lot of things. And let me tell you, transportation is a pretty big thing. The banking and financial sector is the biggest thing, and the government has their hands in it. Thank you, President Obama, for making us not just, I guess, partially socialist by our beliefs, but actually, honest to God, by definition, government, finance, involved in private industry, socialist. Now, he is known that we're going to have a Supreme Court justice retiring. That's been no secret. On the inside in Washington, they knew this guy was going to retire. Now that's a big lie. I forget the guy's name. I'm not even worried about it right now. He was appointed by Bush 1. He was appointed by Bush 1 in kind of a moderate era because there was Democratic control of the houses, both houses. So he had to be very, very moderate about it. The only time that you can, as a president, if you're a Republican, and you can appoint a very conservative judge as if you have both houses that are highly conservative, mainly the Senate, because it's Senate confirmation. You know, that's the one way to go about it. Okay, right now we've got a Democrat in the House. I'm sorry, a Democrat in the White House. We've got Democrats in both houses of Congress. We got 59 Democrats in the Senate. By the time they're to vote on a replacement to confirm a Supreme Court justice, there might be 60 if they work out this mess up north. So who does Obama appoint to the Supreme Court? Judge Sonia Sotomayor. Okay. President Obama declares war on American gun owners with this Supreme Court pick. Listen to this. President Obama's nomination of Judge Sonia Sotomayor is a declaration of war against America's gun owners and the Second Amendment to our Constitution. If gun owners mobilize to unite, it's possible, though it's going to be an uphill climb, to stop this radical nominee. Last year, the Supreme Court handed down the landmark decision of D.C. versus Heller, holding that the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms applies to individual citizens in their private lives. The ruling marked a turning point in gun rights in this country. In the past year, the biggest question courts now faces whether the Second Amendment applies to the states, which is a ridiculous, ridiculous question in my mind. That may sound crazy, but the reality is that the Bill of Rights only controls the federal government. It doesn't apply directly to states or cities. Only the parts of the Bill of Rights that are incorporated through the 14th Amendment apply to the states. I call BS on that one. If you are a citizen of the United States, the Bill of Rights, all 10 amendments, apply to you. They weren't given to you several years down the road when the 14th Amendment was ratified. That's not the way that it works. Since the Heller decision, only two federal appeals courts have written on the Second Amendment. That's six judges out of about 170. Of those six, three said the Second Amendment does apply to the states. And those judges were out of the liberal Ninth Circuit of California and included a judge appointed by Bill Clinton and another appointed by Jimmy Carter. Even leftist judges can get this, but not Judge Sonia Sotomayor. She is one of only three federal appellate judges in America to issue a court opinion saying that the Second Amendment does not apply to the states. The case was Maloney versus Cuomo, and it came down this past January. That means if Chicago or even the state of Illinois or New York wants to ban you from owning any guns at all, even in your own house, that's okay with her. According to Judge Sotomayor, if your state or city bans all guns the way Washington, D.C. did, that's okay under the Constitution. Now, let's put this into perspective. The Second Amendment is part of the first 10 of the Constitution, known as the Bill of Rights. So, under this idea, the Second Amendment doesn't apply to a state. No, it applies to individuals. That means that the rest of the Bill of Rights wouldn't apply either. How can you just say that, okay, we have these 10 amendments in the Bill of Rights. We're saying that this one, just this one, doesn't apply because of something to do with the 14th Amendment that was, you know, ratified 75, 80 years later. Right? How could you possibly consider that? If one doesn't work, then none of them work. That means that they can now officially strip you of your constitutional rights if Judge Sotomayor gets onto the Supreme Court. She's young. She'll be there a long time. Maybe 30, 40 years of having to deal with this. Your constitutional rights will be denied. Forget about the guns. I mean, the guns are going to be part of it. I absolutely flat guarantee. We're going to go back to when I started this segment. Somebody just pushing a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit there. Then you snap, and you just lay the smack down. And then people, well, what did you do? This is what happened. Okay, well, that doesn't seem enough reason to get up and just smack the hell out of somebody. Okay, well, let me lay down the history of all these little things working up. Yeah, well, we're only going to look at this one little thing. You're suspended from school for doing this. And then the little turd head that you got suspended for beating up is going to carry on with their lousy ways. Well, I see this as Obama being the turd head on the school ground, pushing and pushing and pushing. The thing is you're very blatant about it. Only because there's so many Democrats in the Senate for this potential confirmation is he going to nominate somebody so left-wing because he can get away with it. Not because it's right. Not because it's good for the American public. It's to fit his particular socialist agenda. If you don't believe Barack Obama has a socialist agenda, you are stupid. Not just ignorant, but stupid. There's a fine point here. Ignorance, you can gain. That's just simply not knowing. You can gain more information and overcome your ignorance. If you don't know how to rebuild a carburetor, you can go learn how to rebuild a carburetor. Right now, you might be ignorant to the fact of how to rebuild a carburetor. Then when you learn, you're no longer ignorant. If you're stupid, you can never learn how to rebuild a carburetor just because you're stupid. You don't have the mental capacity for it. All right? Now, you might be brilliant as an astrophysicist, but you can't rebuild a carburetor. So when it comes to auto repair, you're stupid. Are you stupid overall? No. All of the information about Obama being a socialist has been put out there for months and months and months and months. And if you choose to believe that he's not a socialist, you're no longer ignorant because all the information has been presented to you. You are downright stupid. Okay? And I'm giving you a Bill Carnes clinical view of this. If you believe that Sonia Sotomayor will actually uphold the Constitution, you are stupid because I just explained to you how she has batted it down. She has smacked the Constitution down. If Obama puts this person on the Supreme Court, I got to tell you, for my cup of tea, that's a line in the sand that's being crossed. Why in the world would the Senate go so far as to walk the party lines when they're looking, yeah, you know what, this is really not a middle-of-the-road kind of judge. Middle-of-the-road judges is what we need. We don't need people who are so far off to left or so far off to right. We want to have people who will read and interpret the Constitution as intended by the founding fathers and apply it to what's going on today. That's all we need. That is what a Supreme Court justice's job is. This is the same woman we played the sound file for yesterday, talking about how judges make policy. Oh, I know we don't make policy, you know, and I know that's on camera, and I probably shouldn't say that, you know, and I know we don't make policy. That's up to the legislative branch. But she knew that she did, because they interpret it however they want. So she was flatly admitting within that statement and demonstrating with her body language and her tone. And you can go to Fox News and watch that piece. You can see it on camera. That she knows that if a decision comes out, if some law comes out, they need to make a decision on it. However she feels on it, that's the policy that she's going to dictate. And if she's going to say the Second Amendment doesn't, the states are not bound to have to honor the Second Amendment, she's flat wrong. And that means they're not going to be bound. That'll lead to court challenges that will lead up to the rest of the Constitution. The states wouldn't necessarily have to do anything about that either. So could they curb your rights? Absolutely. Could Illinois go so far as to ban guns? New York, ban guns? California, ban guns? The only reason they're not is because the Second Amendment does apply. If she gets onto the court and the court hears a case and she's the swing vote that says, okay, the Second Amendment does not apply to the states, do you have any idea how many states in this country are going to outright ban your guns? You will have to turn them in. This judge, this one judge, can make it to the point where a decision is issued by the Supreme Court. Now, and here's a funny thing. The states are not listening to the Heller decision. They're not listening to the, look, these laws are illegal. You can't do those anymore. They're not listening to that. But if they came out with a decision that said the states don't have to pay attention to the Second Amendment, well, you know what? They'd hear that decision. They're not going to listen to the one they don't want to if they're anti-gun. But if one comes out that is an anti-gun decision, they'll certainly listen to that. They will ban your guns. You will be turning them in, California. You'll be turning in all of your guns, Illinois. You'll be turning in all of your guns, Wisconsin. You'll be turning in all of your guns in all of the different cities, municipalities, and states that don't want you to have guns. Now, is that equal representation by your elected officials? No. And how is that? It's because this judge was appointed by an anti-American, honest to God, anti-American, socialist president, who's a fraud president anyhow. The guy was born in Kenya. He doesn't belong in the U.S., in the White House. If there's been so many challenges in court to have Barack Obama proved through paperwork and statements that he was born in the U.S. He was born in Hawaii, as alleged. And all they do is they just block all these courts. They block these. We need more time. We need more time. We're blocking this. We're stalling this. Look, if you were born in the U.S., why wouldn't you just end this problem and show us your birth certificate, show us affidavits and sworn testimony, and fine. The thing is, you're not doing that. You're not offering that information. You know why? Because you were born in Kenya. You don't belong in the White House. You're violating the Constitution even being there. He's not qualified to give this person a nomination to the Supreme Court. He should even have the job. I cannot believe this is happening in my country. This is happening in my country. We elected someone born in Kenya, in Africa, that's now sitting in the White House, that has relatively no political experience, had been in the U.S. Senate for what, 4 years when he ran for president? Not even a single full term junior senator out of anti-gun, anti-rights Illinois. And then all of the kingmakers got behind this guy, put him up into the White House. And now, knowing that he's going to be appointing somebody to the Supreme Court justice, get somebody that is right in line with his thinking, right in line with it. Somebody's not even qualified to be in the White House. be it by birth or simply by experience in life, does not belong there. And stupid people voted for him, not ignorant people. Stupid people. Oh, I want to bring a change. You know what? You have brought change. You've taken us from nearly socialist to fully socialist. You've taken us from being able to believe that the Constitution will always preserve our rights to going after it. Yeah, there's been change. The change is already coming. A lot of the change is already here. And imagine, we're only, what, 4 months into this presidency? And we've got to put up with this for 4 years? I don't think so. I don't think we have to tolerate this. So I have on 2aradio.com a letter that you can send to the Senate regarding not approving this CIFTA treaty to potentially screw with your gun rights. Okay, that, in short order, in the next couple days is going to go down. And a new letter talking about why the Senate should refuse, absolutely refuse, to confirm Judge Sonia Sotomayor is going to go up. And everybody needs to send it to all of their senators. It's going to go up there in the next day or two. So look for it. I flat guarantee you, if this person, Sonia Sotomayor, gets on the Supreme Court, we're done. Done like dinner. Done. There's absolutely no way we should allow this. You've got to get a hold of your senators and let them know there is no way. I will be penning a letter, and I'll have a couple of people that I know look at it, make sure that this thing, yeah, this looks pretty good, and I'm going to post it up there. And you guys are going to, it's going to be incumbent upon you to get it off to your senators. Send it to them every single day, both senators twice a day. Just have the email on repeat, one after the other, after the other, after the other. Bombard them! Stick around through the break.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
1917, the year of the Russian Revolution. Yes, dictators have been loving gun control since even before that, but that just seems like a major historical event, which is why it's on the bumper. Now, Obama loves the idea of gun control, too. Does that make him a dictator? Well, certainly on the realm of it. We have seen in the nation of Venezuela, where we have the president there, who decided, Hugo Chavez, who decided that he wanted to be dictator. He was elected president. Now he wanted to be dictator. So what did he do? He helped get other people elected into their legislative branches and appointed some judges to the point where he is effectively now the dictator of Venezuela, a freely elected country. So you don't have to have an original idea to be successful in life. You can look at someone else who's been successful and follow along their path and be successful as well. So where do you think Obama and his henchmen are getting the idea of ultimate control for him? Well, let's see. Hitler was a pretty charismatic guy and could speak very well in public. If you know German, or if you can see the translations that would actually give the same vernaculars and efficiency of public speaking, Obama is just as good with a little bit more mellow tone. You can see how things went in Venezuela with Hugo Chavez and how he's become effectively the dictator, although elected to the post. And elected to the post with term limits, he surpassed those. So there's already precedent being set on how this president can really take over this country. And he's doing it right under our noses, flagrantly. There's just, it's like he's sitting in the back room shooting spit wads at the back of our head while we're trying to do our schoolwork. And then when you look back, he's just kind of looking around, still got the straw in hand, but hey, I've got milk sitting here, and I have my straw for drinking milk. It's not the only purpose that the straw serves. I can also shoot spit wads, but who are you to say that I am? That's what's going on. Now, eventually, this kid's going to need to get slapped around. I think we need to slap him around by getting a hold of the U.S. Senate and saying there's no way Justice Sotomayor is going to be on the Supreme Court. No way. This is not going to happen. He's going to have to find someone else. He is not going to have the red carpet rolled out and carte blanche, whatever Obama wants, we're going to bow down and say, oh, yes, Messiah, yes, Messiah. F that. None of that is going to be going on. We need to let the senators know, look, you work for us, and we are not going to allow this. We are not going to allow someone so far off to the left that is going to curb our civil rights. You cannot do that. It's in the Constitution. Read it. Driving me nuts.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Feel free to send me your comments to bill@2aradio.com. Have a wonderful day.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Feel your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.